Last year, I got some interesting news that my high school geometry teacher, who I hadn't kept up with or really known anything about, but heard that she was actually preparing to enter religious life. So she wasn't becoming a nun or going to live in a convent, but she was making a special consecration of her life to God, to prayer, as she was going to continue to her life in the world. And so got to kind of reconnect and was invited to the ceremony, got to go up. It was in another diocese, but traveled up there, and we were at the church getting ready. People were preparing. Different priests were coming and getting ready, waiting for the priest who was bringing the bishop. So we're getting close. It's getting, you know, not a lot of extra time, kind of waiting for the bishop to come. And all of a sudden, the priest comes in who, you know, is bringing the bishop, but he stops, looks at this other priest and says, "I thought you were bringing the bishop." Lo and behold, no one was bringing the bishop. The bishop, not long after, called, said he's sitting at his rectory waiting for someone to be able to come by and bring him over. And so we had a long, unexpected wait. He is on the other end of town, so someone had to drive, pick him up, and bring him back. While we were waiting, I was looking at the program and different things. We had lots of time to kill a little bit. And I realized something interesting, that the picture, the image on the front of the program was actually today's parable about those that are waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, who he's long delayed, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting till he can come and they can finally begin the feast. I realized that was perfect. You know, I guess the lesson of the story is if you want your event to start on time, don't pick an image on the front of people waiting for someone to show up late to a wedding feast. But really, it was very fitting. It was kind of a perfect image. It had really brought the parable today into focus. That we were preparing, we were ready, we were anticipating this grace that was to be given. That in life, we have this dynamic of the way that we're prepared for graces. In the second reading today, St. Paul has a powerful reflection on death, some of the deaths of the first Christians. And he tells the Thessalonians that we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. In other words, that it is still a healthy, natural thing that we feel this sadness with the loss of a loved one. Although we don't grieve without hope, we still have this hope in the resurrection. Likewise, we might say that we don't wait like the pagans who have no hope. That when we wait, when things are delayed, when we are in anticipation of something, wanting it to come about, come into effect, that waiting for us isn't just wasted time. It isn't just dead time. The time of our life when we're going through something or preparing for something isn't worthless, but it's very important. It's a time of preparation, a time of vigil, like in the gospel, of waiting, of being prepared. You know, like with food, we don't eat all of our meals right at once. We spread them out. There's time to build up that space, that hunger. That for us, we need this at times. I myself had a very powerful experience of this. These past days, I've been on my retreat as a priest. Part of our requirements and something really essential in keeping our ministry going is a yearly retreat. A few days of setting aside time, of being away, of prayer, no cell phones, no technology, just with the Lord, with some other priests, and just kind of a very simple life, but a very good one, and something that to me really struck me. Just again, that idea of simplicity, of all these things that we think are so essential, of setting them aside. These things that fill our day, fill up our hours, our minutes, our seconds, being able to set them aside and really, you know, the world says or my own mind says or whatever, saying you need this, you need to do this, you need to keep up on that, and realizing, no, we don't need those things. Those things aren't necessary. Being able to have the time to really love God, to pray for others, to love, you know, neighbor in a way that's focused, that's intentional. We need what one book calls an intentional search for less, or disciplined search for less. That we need to be able to take time, use discipline, to use effort to focus on those most important things. and that we see a great image of that with the oil. That what does oil represent? You know, it's more than just oil. It's not just the issue that they needed oil and they didn't have oil. That's very kind of simple, but it represents something very profound. That oil in the sacraments is used quite a bit. Anointing of the sick, baptism, confirmation, ordination of deacons or priests, that we have these times where we use this oil, and that it represents the action of the Holy Spirit. It represents a grace being given, or often a seal being placed. And that this symbol, likewise, can be seen in the gospel. That what really is the flame that needs to keep burning, the oil that needs to continue to provide light, is that divine love, that divine grace that's given to us. The grace that's given to us through the sacraments that the Lord gives to us at different times to burn within us. Charles Borromeo talks about guarding the flame in your heart. You don't take a candle outside in a wind because it will blow out. We guard it. We protect it. We make space for it. Again, maybe we can't set aside all of our technology for 3 or 4 days, but can we do that for a day or an afternoon or even just an hour to spend time in prayer with God, to spend time with our family, with friends, in service, to set aside some of that time of those things for a simple focus on what is more important. That as we think about this, the fire, this charity that's represented by the oil, the love of God, the supernatural, divine love of God that's within us, we see that the difference between the wise and the foolish. The foolish that are just waiting till the last minute, saying, well, you know, I'll get that divine love later. I'll have time later to really love God and love my family. For now, I've got these other things that I'm going to focus on. We recognize that that doesn't make sense. For the wise who say, I'm going to keep this love for God and neighbor burning, always, no matter however long this wait is, that this is something that's important in itself to be continued, not just trying to check the box off before we pass away. That it's also something that can't be given away. You can't ask your neighbor to say, hey, pass some of that divine love to me. That it's something that we guard personally, that we have as a personal gift to be protected. And that's something that really fulfills that phrase of Scripture, that we were created in the image and likeness of God. That when Adam and Eve were created, it's not just their body, but also their soul. That they're in the image and likeness of God, not just in kind of a simple, natural way, but because they're also filled with this divine grace, this divine love. It's lost in sin, but that it's restored by the mercy of God. And that there's something about us that isn't fully what it is intended to be without this grace. That for us, we have this phrase at the end of the gospel to give us an image of that, where the phrase that's used when they try to get into the wedding feast is, I do not know you, when they're refused entrance. They don't have that semblance, that appearance, that image and likeness that comes through grace. That we desire to keep this in us, not just, again, to fulfill some sort of test or check a box for some sort of final exam, but because it's who we are, who we were made to be. We thank you, Lord, for this gift of divine love you wish to give us. We ask the grace to let it enter into us, to live simply enough, to make time enough to encounter that. Not to wait as those who have no hope, but to wait and see the value of what we're doing now, the way that we prepare now for that, so that that flame and grace that you give us through charity may burn always within us until we enter the wedding feast.